Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast. Robert Wagoner back with us. He was last with me 4 years ago when we were talking about his work, Lucid Dreaming, Plain and Simple, and Lucid Dreaming, Gateway to the Inner Self. He taught himself a very simple method to become lucid or consciously aware of the dream state back in 1975, and then 6 years before the scientific evidence for lucid dreaming emerged. That's pretty good. And during the next 40-plus years, he explored lucid dreaming, discovered a way to directly connect with a knowledgeable and creative inner awareness. And besides his 2 acclaimed books on lucid dreaming, he co-edits online magazines. And here he is back on Coast to Coast. Robert, you're away too long.
George, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You too. How have you been?
Great, great. Thanks.
How are the dreams?
You know, dreams take us deep and different places, so they're always fascinating.
They really are. And, you know, the old adage that everybody dreams all the time, you just don't remember them. Is that true?
It really is true. Every night we spend about 23% of the sleep time in the dream state. And when you start to do the numbers, you realize that if that's the case, after 11 years of living, you've spent one entire year in the dream state. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of us who are in our 40s, and we've spent 4 years in the dream state, and we still don't understand it very well. So it's amazing that we spend that much time in dreaming, but really don't understand it.
There are different kinds of dreams, of course, precognitive dreams, regular dreams, nightmare dreams and stuff, and then, of course, lucid dreaming. What is it that makes lucid dreaming different from the other kinds?
Yeah, so a lucid dream is any dream in which you realize within the dream that you're dreaming. You know this is a dream. In fact, you might even announce in the dream, hey, this is a dream. This is too weird. This must be a dream. And so a lucid dream means that you realize you know you're dreaming, and therefore you can begin to act as you want. You can direct the dream to some degree. You can direct your actions within the dream.
Do you say something like, oh, this is a dream. I know it's a dream. I can't get hurt. I can jump off this building. Watch. Do they do stuff like that?
Exactly. Once you realize it's a dream, you can fly through space. You can go through walls. You can walk on water. You can do magic like Harry Potter. You can do some amazing things. But there's also some really deep and profound things that you can do as well.
Just my luck for someone to jump off a building and then say, it's not a dream. You made a mistake.
You know, for lucid dreamers, we have something we call the reality check. And so if you're ever wondering, wait a second, this seems really real. Is this a dream or is this waking reality? So lucid dreamers perform a reality check. For example, I might look at my left hand and grab my index finger and start pulling it.
Mm-hmm.
And if my index finger starts growing and growing and growing, then I know, hey, this is a dream. This would only happen in the dream state.
Exactly.
And so that's how you do a reality check, just to be sure that you are.
That's a good point.
In the dream state.
Robert, why do we lucid dream in the first place? What's the benefit of doing that?
You know, I think there's really about five benefits of lucid dreaming. The first one is you get to have so much fun, but you can also access creativity. You can connect with that unconscious mind, the unconscious creativity, and you can call forth solutions to problems, creative things that you want to produce or play. So that'd be the first one. The second one is you can use lucid dreaming for psychological insight and also for emotional healing. A lot of people need to get in touch with their emotions and have healing occur, and so lucid dreaming allows for that. Then you can use it for physical healing. There's some extraordinary stories of people who have become lucidly aware and then focused on healing their body. And finally, you can use it to enhance your waking life skills, whatever those might be. And you can also use it for spiritual growth, for seeking out wisdom, exploring time and space. So those are some of the many deeper benefits of lucid dreaming.
And when somebody's in this dream and they know it, can they also control what they're doing, or are they just a witness to what's happening?
Yeah, you know, this is a little bit complex. The metaphor that I use is the sailor does not control the sea, neither does the lucid dreamer control the dream. And so when you become lucidly aware, you can decide what you want to do and you can influence things, but it doesn't always go according to plan. And so sometimes you realize that the unconscious is trying to draw your attention to something or bringing in an unexpected feature that you did not expect. And when you see that, then you realize that to say control is just too big a word. You can influence, you can manipulate, but control, that might be a little bit too much.
Robert, where do dreams originate? Do they come from, the subconscious mind or the brain, the physical brain?
Boy, that's a deep philosophical question.
It sure
and
is.
A scientific one that people are still playing with. But it's the fact that every night we spend about 2 hours, 2.5 hours in the dream state. And also, all mammals dream. And that's another curious thing. Well, why is dreaming so important? Way back in decades ago, they did studies where they stopped mice from dreaming that allow them to eat, that allow them to sleep. But every time they started to dream, they'd wake them up. And within a week or so, I believe the mice in this laboratory experiment passed away.
Wow.
So
really?
Dreaming is somehow very important
to your health.
But we still don't know exactly why we dream to begin with.
I know I used to have some Labrador retrievers, and when they were sleeping, you could tell they were dreaming because, you know, they would just make these funny little noises, and you just knew that they were dreaming of something. So I assume animals dream too then.
Yes, animals dream too, and the wonderful thing about some of the neurological research is that there's starting to almost be able to focus on the brain cells that get activated in certain types of dreams. So for example, if they teach a rat how to go through a maze to get to the food, then they can follow its brain activity at night and see that the rat is actually considering that same idea in its actual dream. And so when you see your Labrador move its paws or whatever, then you realize that sometimes they're having dreams about actual movements that they've done and things that they want to do.
Robert, has science jumped in on this yet?
You know, the wonderful thing is lucid dreaming has been scientifically validated through the wonderful work of Stephen LaBerge, who was at Stanford. And this is how he did it, George. He himself was a lucid dreamer, but he wondered, how could you get scientific evidence? And then he realized that within the dream state, we have rapid eye movement, so our eyes move around. He wondered, could you bring a lucid dreamer into the sleep lab and tell him, when you become consciously aware that you're in a dream, I want you to look left and right 8 times, and maybe that'll move your physical eyes, and that will show evidence that you're consciously aware in the dream. And so using himself as the research subject, he went to the sleep lab and did that and published the results in 1980, 1981. And that ushered in the scientific era of lucid dreaming. But before then, lucid dreaming had been discussed in Buddhism as dream yoga for about 2,000 years, in Sufism for about 1,000 years, in shamanic traditions for many, many millennia. So it's a wonderful thing to have lucid dreaming be scientifically validated because it has a long history as a ancient spiritual practice.
It's not astral projection, though, is it?
No, it really isn't. And so I'll just kind of go through the differences between what people call OBEs or out-of-bodies or astral travel versus lucid dream.
Okay.
So in a lucid dream, you realize, wait a second, this is too weird, this must be a dream. But normally in out-of-body, when you read about the experiences, the person has a traumatic accident or a heart attack and they're floating up in the hospital operating room, or they might begin to hear all this humming and buzzing as they're trying to fall asleep and that sort of thing. So people who are having out-of-bodies, they report that kind of buzzing and energetic noise. Sometimes they say that they roll out of their body or they shoot out of their body. But again, a lucid dreamer, they're just realizing within a dream that they're dreaming. I remember Robert Monroe, kind of the father of
astral projection. Experience. That's right.
Yeah. He said that he thought the big difference was that in the lucid dreams, people are constantly changing the environment. You can use your beliefs and expectations, your mind, to change the environment around you. He says, whereas a person in the out-of-body experience, they just accept the environment. It's a very stable environment. And finally, the final point would be, a lot of people who have out-of-body experiences or astral travel, they report coming back to the body, and oftentimes with a big thud, and they kind of, when they finally reconnect. But lucid dreamers, they normally realize the dream's coming to an end, and then they just wake up in bed. So those are the differences. They're similar in some regards, but in many respects, they're two different things.
What is it that got you involved in lucid dreaming, the study?
Yeah, you know, when I was a young kid, I just had a fascination with dreams. I occasionally have precognitive dreams that just blew my mind. But it was back in 1975, I was reading a book by Carlos Castaneda where he talked about his shamanic teacher suggested that he find his hands in the dream state and realize he's dreaming. And I thought, could a person really do that? And so there wasn't really a technique, so I just made up my own using the power of suggestion. Each night before I'd go to sleep, I'd just look at the palm of my hands while telling myself, tonight in my dreams I'll see my hands and realize I'm dreaming. Tonight in my dreams I'll see my hands and realize I'm dreaming. And I'd do that for about 5 minutes and fall asleep. So what happened on the third night of doing this practice, I'm walking through my high school hallway, and all of a sudden, my hands just pop right in front of my face. And I realize, oh, this is a dream. And so this is the way that I taught myself back in 1975, about 6 years before the scientific evidence emerged, how you could become lucidly aware in the dream state. But I'll tell you, I had an incredible lucid dream, and it just totally blew my mind. And after that, I was hooked on lucid dreaming.
PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, nightmares. How does lucid dreaming help that?
Yeah, one of the primary symptoms of PTSD is recurring nightmares. Every night, the person dreams about that horrible incident or a dream representation of it, and they wake up and can hardly fall back asleep. I mean, some of the people don't even want to sleep because they don't want to have those nightmares again. So it happened back in 1982. There is a psychotherapist in Ohio, Gordon Halliday, and he himself, I believe, was a lucid dreamer. And so he instructed his PTSD clients. He said, look, you're going to have that same recurring nightmare again. So at some point in it, I want you to realize, hey, this is that recurring nightmare, and become lucidly aware. And he said, as soon as you do that, then just change one thing in that nightmare. Just change one thing. You know it's a dream, just change one thing. And so both of his clients, they became lucidly aware, they changed one thing, and the most incredible thing is, then the recurring nightmares stopped.
Interesting.
After that, they just came to an end, and the people were so glad to be able to get a decent night's sleep and to at least have that aspect of PTSD go away.
Of all the dreams that are out there, the precognitive and things like that, And how many different dreams are there? Can we categorize them?
Well, there's all kinds of dreams. There's visitation dreams from the deceased. There's dreams of being in other times and places. There are so many types of dreaming. That's one of the fun things that I get to do is every year I get to go to the International Association for the Study of Dreams. They have a conference this year here in a couple of weeks. It's going to be in the Netherlands. And the wonderful thing then, you have all sorts of interesting people come and share either their scientific work on dreaming and lucid dreaming, or sometimes their historical work on dreams and lucid dreams, and as well as their own personal experiences. But there's all types of dreaming.
And here's some that they have out there in terms of some of the dreams. There's obviously what we just talked about, lucid dreams. There's daydreaming, nightmares, recurring dreams, healing dreams, we'll talk about that. Prophetic dreams, that's precognitive, I think. Signal dreams, that's when they solve problems for you. And then epic dreams, or what they would call huge, great dreams. I never heard of that one before, have you?
You know, I think a lot of people would call those big dreams. That was the term that Carl Jung used, those big dreams that kind of change your life and send us on a different pathway.
So of all the dreams, of all of them that we just heard, which one would you rather have?
Boy, I would much rather have a lucid dream, because when you're lucidly aware, you can decide what you want to do. And if you know how to do it, you can explore the mind very deeply, explore time and space. You can physically heal, emotionally heal yourself. You can access creativity. Lucid dreaming, I feel, beats almost all these other kind of dreams, hands down.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.